world, but the manner in which I would say it, right? So let's start with Casamora Cave tours. What were the things you were thinking about in terms of voice? Were you trying to be contextually relevant? Did you consider humor? Did you think about the, so this is in Hawaii, are there cultural references? How did you approach this?
We thought about the persona of the person who's going there, and we thought it could be fun to sort of have sort of an adventurous undertone to the,
okay,
to like a tour guide,
okay,
taking you through, like, you know, well done, or you're halfway there, just not over the top, hitting you over the head with the personality, but having,
okay,
a little bit of that.
But literally, like a sense of adventure and the voice of a tour guide,
yeah,
kind of thing. Okay, so you opted not to go with the stereotypical Polynesian tiki thing of the little, you know, the drum sound and the flaming torches and, you know, the Brady Bunch tiki curse from the caves. How about kung fu? What was your approach to the voice for these messages?
We started off thinking about humor, and then questioned if that was appropriate, and figured that since he takes himself and his business very seriously, that it wasn't appropriate.
Okay.
But that it would be instructional, very clear, kind of like guiding you, you know, like a teacher would.
Okay. Okay. So taking once again the profession of the person for the site, and the voice of a teacher. We were chatting and I said, well, is it the kind of error message that you would want to write it as if you were on the mat and you had made a mistake in a kung fu class? How would he correct you? How would he tell you, right? Would it be belittling? Would it be guiding? You know, how would it? So it's like, it's not the Marines where you, you know, that's wrong, drop and give me 50! You know, that's not the voice you're looking for, right? Okay. How about Hardy Farms peanuts? There was some good chuckling from back there.
He definitely went for the humor.
Okay.
And like, you visualize this like anthropomorphic peanut guy.
Hold it in, Dante. So you're anthropomorphizing a boiled peanut.
Well, we thought maybe the pre-boiled state.
The boiled state's a little bit soft and slimy, right? So do you have an example of like the humor that you were thinking of?
Because we had broken down the checkout steps, so enter your info, billing, shipping and billing. So each of those, if there was an error, saying like it could be like a layered approach with a light box and then the little peanut guy showing up, blushing or something, saying, oh, oops, sorry.
Okay. Okay, so really playing off of a visual play for this a lot. Okay. How about for feeling good?
We tried the gentler approach, considering some people might be, you know, general public as opposed to professional.
Okay.
So we were just kind of like, instead of blaming the person that you did it wrong, you're good.
I mean, they are already suffering from stress, anxiety, and depression, right? So let's just, one little push and over the edge you go. Complete psychological decompensation.
So it's kind of like, can you assist us in making this correction instead of saying you made an error?
Oh, very therapist-like. Help me understand, right? What did you really mean? Okay, so once again, the profession sort of influences the voice. Then you have an interesting one because you have mental health professionals and you have patients who are coming to the site. So you don't want to say something that's too academic because you have the patients, but you don't want to say something that's cliche because you have the professionals.
Well, yeah,
so
we were talking about how do you even refer to the non-mental health professional? You don't say patient.
Client.
Well, I mean, like in the navigation and things like that,
oh,
you don't say client, right?
Yeah, most mental health care professionals refer to their...
But, you know, like in the navigation at the very beginning, it's like, how do you refer to these people?
Yeah.
Patient? the loony one. You know,
almost crazy. How crazy are you? Yeah, it's what's on the homepage, right? Before you can get into the site, you have to take a little test, and then we give you a form of the site that is different degrees of straitjacketed, right? It's like there's the fully open straitjacket, and then there's the fully closed straitjacket, which is we've already called 911. Help is on the way. So there are challenges for each of them, right? So some sites can tolerate humor. Or Hardy Farms Peanuts totally can tolerate humor. Kung Fu, I probably agree with you. Trey Craig, Sifu Trey Craig, I mean, he takes it very seriously. He's like, what, 8th degree black belt or something. Kick your ass if you say it the wrong way. So you think about the voice. All right, so in the last couple minutes, I also asked you to think about guided processes. The big question, how many of you identified guided processes that have some form of underlying logic? I know each one of you has a step-by-step process, but how many of you have underlying logic so that a choice or data that you enter in one step actually influences the path that you take from there? So your tree branches in some direction. So Hardy Farms has, you're nodding back here. So what's the example of where there's some logic? There might be multiples, but you can just pick one.
Like if they're signing in as a existing customer or if they're gonna continue the checkout process as a guest.
Oh, right, a great one. So we could actually have four things from that page, that first step, right? I wanna check out as a guest, I want to create an account, I'm a returning customer, I want to sign in, I'm a returning customer but I forgot my password and I needed to help me to sign in before I can check out. So that's a great example of how step number one branches you off into some other place, but then most of them bring you back, right? So if I sign in, enter the information, go to checkout. If I forgot my password, I go to password recovery, come back to sign in, go to checkout. And if I go as a guest, I go to checkout, but probably at the end of the checkout process, I've already entered all of my information, there's probably a question that says, now that you've filled everything out and you think you're going to buy peanuts again, give us a password and we'll create an account for you. So we just do it at the end instead of at the start. Or create an account, I create one, and then I go to checkout. So that's a great example of how you branch off, but in the end, you're still coming back to the checkout process. Any other cases of where there was logic involved? I know there should have been, at least at some point, right? Because the remaining three sites have the concept of reservations that are date-based, and that there may be different training sessions, there may be different tour types, and there may be different class types. So if you pick a date, it may show you a set of classes or seminars or tours that are available. If you pick a tour or a class or a seminar, it tells you the next date that is available. So there could be some logic that branches there. Any other examples where there's underlying logic?
We had one where, are you signing up for a class yourself or are you signing up like your child? Are you signing up for somebody else?
Oh, right. So if you're filling it in for you, you get the adult form. If you're filling it in for a child, you get a different set of information. Okay, good one. So you actually see different forms down that path.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, the reason that I asked you to think about these logic situations is because for a normal project, we would probably have to do wire flows or storyboards for each one of the paths to show what happens in each one of these cases. That's more than we need to do for this class. So you're all faced with some degree of logic, but you only need to pick one path for as you're creating your wireframes. So whatever path you are thinking about testing in prototype testing should be the path that you create the wireframes for. So you can have annotations that say, you know, there's logic and other things would happen. But for the purpose of this class, you only need to map out one path through that tree or through that potential set of paths just to keep it manageable. But recognizing that you would have to do more than that if this were a real project, we need to be able to test the logic and show all of these different situations. So this is our last set of wireframes. Now this is wireframes 3. So for next week, I want you to take one of the form pages that you've already done, and I want you to layer on error messages. How would you handle the presentation of error messages on a form page? And it can be whatever form page you want. I just want to see, how are you handling, placing, drawing attention to error messages? And then the remaining wireframes, two or three wireframes, are going to be for this step-by-step process. Sean, you've already started on yours, because one of your wireframes this time had, you had it all on one page, but it showed three different states of reserving a tour. For the purpose of a prototype, we don't want to put all of the states on one page. We need to break them out into separate wireframes, because in prototyping, when people do something, they're going to see another state of the page. They're not going to see it all stacked up in the margins off to the side of a wireframe. So in your case, you'll need to separate them into like three separate pages. I pick a date, I pick a tour, I enter, I see how the cart updates. So we're going to do it as a wire flow, a sequence of wireframes, because that's how it's going to happen when you're doing your prototype testing. People are going to interact with it, and they're only going to see one state at a time. So that'll be the other task then. Take your guided process and also update an error form. All right? So we are meeting next week, so I will see you next week. The topic for next week, we're going to talk about an intro to usability testing and methodology, and of course we'll wrap up with any questions about wireframing.